Welcome to the Dadpreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Oliveira. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Ashton Rodenheiser. Did I get that right?
You did it.
All right, I did it. Woo. It's a mouthful. Well, mine is like Oliveira, so some people say Oliveira, Oliveira. Don't worry about it. I know. It's all good. So welcome to the show, Ashton.
I'm so happy to be here, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. We're going to have a good time and help our listeners get stories that are inspirational. We've all gone through challenges in our entrepreneurial journey. So I want to dig deep into that with you as well, how you got started. And then also the other side in the second half of the podcast, we'll talk about parenting. You have three little ones, so I'm sure you have a really busy life. And you're up in Canada, right?
I am on the East Coast of Canada. Yeah.
Okay. And how is it getting cold up there already?
It is a little. I got a little sweater on today. It's a little chill. It's getting there.
I'm in Florida. It's like 79 today. So,
Oh no, it's definitely sweater weather here, okay. but this is like my favorite time of year. It's like a beautiful temperature where you just need like a little sweater. That's my favorite.
That's nice. Well, so anyhow, give us the intro. Let the audience know who Ashton is, like where things got started before kids, before your own business, consulting business, which we're going to talk about. And then we're going to talk about your superpower, which I really love.
Okay.
Sketchnoting. And many people may not know what that is. They might be like, is that drawing? Is that graphic design? Is it a combination? Right. But I think it's so important, especially to our business owners and marketers who struggle with creativity. And I do a lot of design thinking workshops, but that sometimes gets a little bit too deep. And I thought your subject matter and your superpower is one that can really inspire people to get more creative and visual. So let's dig into early days, Ashton.
Oh my gosh, early days, Ashton. So I've always been very creative. Like I call myself a dabbler because like name an art medium and I probably tried it. Like also right now I'm like learning how to play the bagpipes like just for fun with my 10-year-old. So, you know, I'm always like, been challenged myself to like learn different things creative wise, music and all of that. But unfortunately, there's a lot of negative rhetoric in my home, in my community about those quote unquote art kids who go to art school and don't have a job or can't make any money, right? So I didn't even pursue a creative path.
Oh no.
Just because it was just so negative in my space. So when I was in high school, I really, even though I was very smart, you know, top of my class, marks wise, no idea what I wanted to do. No clue. I thought maybe a teacher. I'd always worked with kids. I had no idea. I really struggled. And I decided that I wanted to be a mom. And I'm in grade 12. And everyone's like, what are you going to do after high school? And I'm like, I don't know, just be a mom. And everyone was like, why? You don't want a career? And I'm like, I'll do something. I don't know. But I just like really wanted, I just had this like, I've always been very nurturing. I just really wanted to be a mom. So I was like, well, what am I going to do? I didn't really want to take time off. I wanted to go do something, but I didn't really want to spend a lot of money because I didn't have like, I had to get loans and all of that, right? So I decided to enroll in my local community college and take early childhood education. Because I'm like, well, I will look after other people's kids until I have my own or until something else happens. Makes sense, right? It's like a transferable skill. I'll always use these skills. Anyways, fast forward a few years, I end up working at a nonprofit family center. And it was a really beautiful space where I learned about community development. I learned about facilitation. And the last few years I was there, I moved into more of a facilitator role, working more so less with kids and more so with the parent side. And I really fell in love with how you can create a safe space for people to share ideas and you can hear what they're saying and feedback their own learning to them. Mm-hmm. And anyways, fast forward a little bit more. I wanted to move back to my hometown because I was living in the city at the time. Kind of getting ready to start a family. Didn't know what that was going to look like quite yet. Bought a house, did all of those things. And I had a friend of mine who told me about this workshop that was coming up called graphic facilitation. No idea what that was. Had no clue, never seen it before. Went to this one day workshop and I was like, this is life. this is amazing. There's the facilitation world where you get to hear people, create safe spaces. And then there's the graphic side where you get to like draw their conversations. And I was like, this is the best thing in the whole world. How did I not know this existed? And that was 10 years ago this month. That was 10 years ago, which is pretty wild to say that out loud. And from that moment on, I really, my oldest was 6 months at the time. So it's very easy for me to remember because it was the longest I had ever left her for a whole day, 6 months. And yeah, basically the rest is history. I was like, I want to figure out how to do this. So the first few years I just sort of played around and then had another kid. And then after my second was born, I was like, okay, I really want to take this seriously. Like I'm going to create a business. And unfortunately in this type of industry, like no one's hiring internal graphic facilitators, live illustrators, sketchnoters, right? So kind of by default, you have to start a business. So I was like, well, if I really want to do this, I'm going to have to figure it out on my own. And luckily, once I kind of got into the entrepreneurial journey, I was like, oh, I actually really like this. Like this is actually a good time. And of course, there's very hard moments in it and still is. But I was like, yeah, this is pretty awesome. So I think I was a lot more entrepreneurial than I realized. And looking back, I'm like, oh yeah, I had definitely entrepreneur spirit growing up, but I never named it as that. And I never really considered being an entrepreneur as an option, right? I followed very like traditional, like go work a 9-to-5 kind of thing, right? So yeah, that's the long and short of journey of how I ended up where I am today.
Well, thanks for the intro there. I picked up on a lot of interesting points. I think the first one to me that I think applies to everyone at large, but also for those of us who are parents, to make sure that we're not contributing to doing what, in your experience, my experience, all of us growing up had, which was this societal pressure to do this, because society says you go down this path, you don't do what's, you know, what naturally you're attracted to or good at or enjoy, right? You do what's practical, go make money, go make a living.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, you know, by you not pursuing that because of the pressures, I think it just delayed what you were going to find anyways, which is, I guess is okay. But I think for us as parents, on this show, I'm constantly trying to learn from different people who've gone down that road as parents, learn from what my parents, how they parented my sister and I. And then, of course, with my wife and I, we're always trying to find better ways to make sure that we don't make too many mistakes and make sure that we're not sheep just kind of going along with what mainstream says, because that's not what's best for our children to put them in a box. So I think my takeaway from what I heard there was that if you're a parent, you know, make sure that you're on your child's side, right? And your children's side to say like, look, go ahead and go pursue this. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all about being practical. My son, my 13-year-old, he wants to be a musician. That's great. But he really understands, we're hammering in his head that you need two tracks, right? Because this track may not work out immediately and may just be this much forever, which is okay. It's fantastic. So you have to build that second track, right? So you still need to get enough education and go out there and get a job. But then if music, you know, helps you succeed faster, then you don't need that second track. Then that's fantastic, right?
Yeah. No, I love that. It's definitely, unfortunately, there's just so much negative, extra negative around creative fields, which doesn't make any sense to me because I'm like, what do? We spend all this attention on celebrities. It's such a weird thing for me because we hold celebrities at high regard and they're just artists, not just, but they're like actors, you know,
it's a job.
It's a job and it's a creative field that like you make a living at. And, you know, obviously it comes with all these accolades and all of this like celebrity status to it too. But for some reason, I think it's very funny when I hear like, oh, you can't make money as an artist. But I'm like, well, tell that to like Leonardo DiCaprio or something. Like you can't make money as an artist. Like it's just, we segment what art is in all these like little boxes. That's I'm like, oh, well, like my dad, actually, he was trying to get me to explain to my uncle what it is that I do Oh, wait, at Canadian Thanksgiving, right? Canadian Thanksgiving happens in October, people. So it's the true and only Thanksgiving. So at Canadian Thanksgiving, I was trying to explain to my uncle like what it is that I do for work.
With the sketch noting or the graphic recording?
So all of it.
On that note, tell the audience then, our listeners, what is sketch noting and graphic recording?
Yeah. So, well, I'll caveat that with because my dad said, oh, because when I try to explain it to people, they say, and she makes a living doing this, right? So, you know, I think people, like my husband also runs a business, right? So we talk about, like, unfortunately, people are just ignorant, and ignorant doesn't have to be a bad word. It's not right. Like we're poo-pooing people and saying, oh, you're ignorant. Yeah. It's just being ignorant just means you don't have all the information.
Correct.
Right? And I don't expect everybody to have all the information about how I run a business and make money. Right. So they're going to come to their own conclusions. I'm like, she makes money doing that. Like that. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Right. Mm-hmm. They just don't know. So anyways, few different ways that I work, kind of in two worlds mostly right now. So I get hired by companies, businesses, conferences to live illustrate the conversations, the presentations, the information that flows from presenters, from meetings, from strategic planning sessions, what have you. So someone's talking or multiple people are talking. I'm listening. I'm making sense of what I'm hearing. And I'm drawing a visual representation of what is said in that meeting, presentation, what have you.
Awesome.
So in the person, I usually do that with paper and markers, creating, they're big, like life size. When I am digital, instead of seeing me in a Zoom screen with my face, you'd see my drawing screen. And it's all live, done in real time. And I never know what people are going to say before they're going to say it. So there's this like weird magic to it. Mm-hmm. And then the other world is around teaching people how to do these skills. So about 2 years ago, I was like getting really frustrated with people coming to me at conferences or messaging me in a Slack channel saying, oh, I wish I could learn how to do this. And I'm like, but you could. So really kind of buckled down and wrote a book and did all the things to try to showcase. It's actually not that difficult to learn how to draw your own notes. And, you know, sometimes I'll call myself a professional doodler because people are like, what the heck is that? Because doodling is just this beautiful stepping stone to visual note-taking, to sketch noting, right? Because doodling can help you remember up to 29% more information, right? So just take those doodles and make them work for you a little bit. And that's what I see as
By the way, I just doodled that 29% so I can remember 25.
So you can remember that stat later. Yeah. So it's, you know, doodling has gotten a bad rap, right? Creativity in the workplace has gotten a bad rap. And I think we are, as things just get more and more tech focused, we're going to be going back to some of those basics of creativity and trying to, like, if you are a creative thinker and you can bring that to your own business or to a workplace, you are going to be extremely valuable. Extremely. Mm-hmm. My belief is that it's going to be one of the number one skill sets in the near future that employers are going to be looking for, or that's going to make you stand out in a crowded marketplace.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's so important. I mean, in marketing, what I do in my company is marketing. And so everything I do has to be visual. So sketching, whether it's a landing page for a client or an ad campaign or creative, whatnot, but that's what we do in marketing. So it's just expected. But for my clients who may have marketing teams, so these are typically the executives, the management, they don't care. And I'm trying to explain to them, you need to care about the creative. Right. And we'll do these little exercises like how to draw toast using design thinking, you know, and the circle exercises that I know, you know about those, to make as many objects using circles as you can in 60 seconds. Yeah. People have so much fun with these exercises because to your point, what you hear from people at the beginning, oh, I'm horrible at drawing. Exactly. I'm not going to. Yeah. And then they start to get into it and they're like, wow. It's not about the quality of the drawing, is the fact that, you know, people are going to interpret it differently anyways. And then you have like the perfectionist who they prefer to just do one circle and get it perfect than actually allow their creativity to go out. And you're like, okay, so like, I know you're not a risk taker. Okay, that's my interpretation there. So I think drawing is a great way to also connect with your staff to understand their way of thinking. So for any of our listeners who are interested in getting more visual, because I think the key thing I heard from you there is that, you know, A, you get to retain more, and then B, that employers, including myself, I agree, in an age of AI and tech, absolutely, having this skill would be a great way to stand out and be able to captivate everyone's attention. So if someone wants to learn, how do they start? I know you have a book.
Yeah.
You have a course that you teach online?
Yeah. So I have an online community. And I really wanted, I do have a course and a couple other like things in the community where you can kind of like sit down and watch some videos and like learn things. But I really wanted to build a community. Like I started with a course, but I decided to put everything into the community because I love I love handholding people. I love being people's cheerleaders. I love answering questions and allowing people to connect with each other and help each other. And sometimes you miss that real intentional connection when you just kind of have a course, even if people can comment or have a Facebook group, like it's not the same. So everything kind of lives within my, call it Sketchnote School community. Everything's sort of in there, and we do workshops and I bring people in to do workshops, and it's just like a fun, good time. So that's just sort of like, as I like released the book earlier this year and kind of building the community along the same time and just sort of like seeing where people are looking to, like, where are their gaps? What are they struggling with? What can I help them with? And some of them are teachers. Some of them are like, you know, cybersecurity professionals and kind of like anywhere in between. Right. And how they use sketchnoting and visual thinking tools in so many different ways, which is really like a really cool learning for me too, to learn about how people use it. But yeah, honestly, like lean in on whatever creativity works for you. Like maybe drawing isn't your thing and that's totally fine, but maybe like your son, you said he wanted to be a musician, right? So like maybe like you can communicate to people and to yourself, like through like sitting down, just like playing guitar, or maybe you're really funny and you tell jokes or you're a great storyteller. So tap into whatever creativity like feels good for you. You know, like first off, I'm not going to say like everybody should draw. Like I think there's a lot of benefits and it'd be cool if you tried it. But, you know, like I think there's so much more to creativity than just like visual art, which is what a lot of people default into. And unfortunately, people get into this space where they don't always understand visual art. So then they don't feel, they kind of feel stupid, right?
Yeah.
When people start having negative experiences within like art or creativity, then they're like, I'm not creative, because it's not even that they don't think they're creative. It's the fact that they had a bad experience in their childhood, probably most people do, but told them they weren't creative, or they've had an experience where creativity made them feel stupid, right? Maybe someone shot them down in a meeting, or they went to an art gallery and didn't understand a sculpture, you know, like, you know, not all art, like, you don't have to always understand it, right, to appreciate it and to believe that you can also be creative in your own way. So anyways, I wanted to kind of put my philosophy on creativity a little bit there. But yeah, if you want to pick up a pen and have fun and learn and help, you know, capture things in a way that can help you learn, sketchnoting is a really cool and powerful tool to do so. Yeah.
Well, we're going to add it to the show notes, and definitely I'll encourage our staff, our clients, to check out your videos, your courses, everything that you have. Cause to me, creativity, there's always a different way of learning it too. You know, like I said, I've used design thinking methodology from multiple thought leaders in that space, graphic designers, web designers, people who design for branding. And as you said, you know, art is so subjective. And every time I get next to an artist, whatever it is they're creating, it just opens up your mind. And I think it is one of those things, just like the physical, you know, in the mental, the more you do, the easier it becomes and the more you have fun with it. But you first have to go down that road. Okay. Yeah. So aside from your consulting business, let's close out the podcast today. You talking to us about balancing being a mom and running your own business. And of course, your husband has his own business. So you guys are true entrepreneurs. How do you find that balance?
Oh my gosh. You know what? I feel I always have a really hard time kind of answering this question. And I think it's because I started this journey when I already had kids. Whereas maybe some people started a business, had all the flexibility in the world, you could do whatever you want, and then you had kids.
That's
so me. Yeah. So I've always had the constraint. I don't know any different, which I actually like, I'm okay with, because if I knew all the flexibility and then I went to not being as flexible, like I might not be as nice. It might be not as be as great.
Yeah.
But I've always had kids in this process of trying to build a business, especially those early years of like really in the grind, trying to figure it all out and having babies. Like that was definitely quite a challenge. A little easier now where my business is like, you know, it's like a lot of my people, like, you know, the things that you learn, right? You don't take on projects that you don't feel good about, you know, you say no.
Qualify those leads.
Qualify, you know, and most of my work this year has been repeat clients. You show That's up, awesome. Do a good job, they hire you back again and again, right? So, which has been great, have those repeat clients, because that allowed me to have a little bit more flexibility to like build my community and write my book and be more of the educator and teacher, right? So, you know, it's, you know, I definitely had very bad boundaries in the beginning. But I think it was just the nature of it, you know, had like a little baby and, or two, multiple, and, you know, I'm staying up until midnight working away at stuff and trying to figure it out. I think when one of the things I didn't do in the beginning, which I wish I would have, was like, got help, you know, like I really made up everything. I still make up a lot of stuff, but I didn't, like, I should have outsourced things I wasn't good at. I should have like hired mentors or coaches or trainers to teach me how to do things. I wish I would have invested in myself more. I think I would have saved myself a lot of heartache and time. I would have just said, you know, if I just give you $1,000, you just teach me how to use this program or just teach me how to do this thing. Right. Because I still feel like I'm making, even 10 years in, I'm still making up a lot of stuff, to be honest with you.
No, it's true. I think we all do, though. I think that's the entrepreneurial spirit, that you have the desire to explore, discover, and then tinker with things. But yeah. I so agree with you. I mean, whether it's on the parenting side or the entrepreneurial side, in that some things are better left to the professional or to someone who can do it in a minute, whereas you might take an hour to do. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you in that. But yeah, no, listen, thanks so much for sharing with us your story, of course, your entrepreneurial journey from where you started to now. I'd love to have you back on the podcast at some point for us to do something visual live.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I would love to do something visual live, because I'm just thinking of how this would help a lot of our entrepreneurs who have the creative block. So I'd love to have you back. But what's the best way for our listeners to connect with you, Ashton?
Yeah, so kind of two main ways. Mindseyecreative.ca is all things like hire me for your event or your meeting or what have you.
Okay.
Should be a good time. And sketchnote.school is all things like Sketchnote. You want to learn, you want to read about, like get my book, join my community, join my free newsletter that I send out Saturday with a weekly sketchnoting tip. Like, you know, I do free workshops all the time. Actually just did one earlier today.
Awesome.
You know, so there's lots of ways to kind of learn, free or paid, which is great. And yeah, mainly those two. My name is pretty unique, so Google me and you'll find me.
All right, Ashton, thanks so much for being on the podcast.